You know, one of the most effective things I ever said, I think, in terms of political commentary is when I said to a group of hostile students at a university, I said, look, if healthcare were free, I'd be in favor of free healthcare. What kind of a jerk would I have to be opposed to free healthcare if healthcare wasn't free? Of course I would give free healthcare to people if it were free, but it's not free. So we have to talk about what it costs, and now all of a sudden you're a conservative again. Well, the same thing applies to the whole gun control issue. If I really thought that these ideas about this gun legislation would somehow stop these school shootings, I would at the very least give it some serious thought that I'm not giving to it now, because it's just plain magical thinking. So here's another piece of evidence that leads me to this conclusion. You probably heard, of course, all of this, all of the press coverage and the students on television and the committees and the Twitter campaigns and all of this other stuff about the recent shooting in Maryland. No? You didn't hear that? Well, that's because the recent shooting in Maryland was stopped by a guy with a gun who had a uniform on, and that kind of does a little bit of damage to the whole theory that a sign or legislation would have solved the problem. Here are the specifics. Okay, so a 17-year-old student went into Great Mills High School in Maryland, and he basically shot a girl and then shot another male student. The girl is in critical condition. The boy is in stable condition. There is some evidence that this guy had a relationship with the female, so maybe he went in there to be one of these lunatics who can't let go of a romantic relationship, but I don't imagine he would take a gun and do it at school unless he had an idea that he was going to get himself famous just the way that all these other people get themselves famous. And the reason that we didn't have a massacre in our hands is because of one man, and that man's name is Blaine Gaskill. Blaine Gaskill is a hero. Blaine Gaskill is the kind of person that needs to be widely recognized in the same way that I never mention the names or faces of shooters, but people like Blaine Gaskill needs to be broadcast all over the country. Guys, we saw what happened in Parkland, and one of the most tragic things about Parkland was the stories about the sheriff's deputy who basically sat outside eating peanuts or something while the shots were going on inside. Here we have a gentleman who strikes me as not only a courageous man, that's obvious, who strikes me just from his appearance, seems like a decent man, who decided to do his job, heard gunfire at the school, went in there, drew his weapon, and then engaged the shooter, and that was the end of that particular incident. Now, I hate to break this to our friends on the left, but when the story says that he engaged the shooter, it doesn't mean that he went forward with a big smile, got down on one knee, and opened up a small case with a diamond engagement ring on the inside. He didn't let love conquer fear. He used his weapon to stop a mass murderer is what he did. Steve, I'm not so much concerned with these stories because I suspect these stories are far more common than we are aware of. And I also know for a certain fact that when we go to a bank, we see a man in every bank I've ever been in with a badge standing there with a gun because we value the things that we put inside banks. I suspect that a few stories like this are going to make it more difficult. We don't know what the deterrent value is what I'm saying, of people like this tremendous man. What do you think about this story, and why do you suppose it's not getting anything like the attention that the Parkland story got?
That's really two questions, and I'll address the first part briefly, and I'll get into more detail on the second part. The first part is, and I coined this phrase, I think I coined it myself, a couple of weeks ago, and I can't say it enough. When you allow concealed carry anywhere, then everywhere begins to look like a hard target. These sickos who want their notoriety to run up the body count, saying that their face and their name plastered all over the news, they go to schools because they know these are soft targets. Let's harden them up. Okay, that's the first part. The second part is the left. I don't know how long they spent putting this together, but when Parkland happened, was it just last month, I guess, they had just roll after roll of AstroTurf just ready to be unfurled as soon as this thing happened. They were all on the same page on Twitter, on Facebook, on the blogs, in the newspapers, magazines. Everything was on the same page. They plucked the two most telegenic kids out, gave them the lines. They put them on TV, giving them forums to repeat these lines ad nauseum and without ever being countered. They were given just everything they could possibly have to put these telegenic kids and get the predetermined message out. It was all AstroTurf. It was all playing in advance. You know, they had the identical pre-printed signs of the protest. Everything you would ever expect to see from the left, they rolled out like a well-oiled V8 engine immediately after this thing. Now, this is what we need to get serious about. When something like this happens in Maryland, where the good guy with the gun stops it, the NRA, whatever other organizations there are, we have to have our own AstroTurf, not because it's the right thing to do, but because it's the necessary thing to do, because these are the tools, the propaganda tools that the left uses. And unless we start using them ourselves, unless we pluck that telegenic kid out of the school saying, well, thank gosh for the good guy with the gun, thank gosh for the Second Amendment, until we have this stuff ready to go at a moment's notice, we may keep winning these individual battles, but eventually we're going to lose the war because the left is so good at this stuff. We need to up our game.
That's exactly correct. Scott, how would that look? What would we have to do in a case like that? It's not just a question of, hey, this guy prevented this shooting. I remember very well, remember the event, was it, where in Texas was it that they were having the, Geller was having the...
It was in Garland, Texas.
Yeah. Garland, yeah. I want to say Mayfield. Garland, yeah. And here's a group of all these conservatives who were put through metal detectors so that they couldn't have any weapons inside, and two Muslims come out of a car with automatic weapons or semi-automatic, listen to me, with semi-automatic weapons, about to go in there and murder all these conservatives, or stopped by a police officer. If they hadn't barred the weapons from the inside of that place, the guy probably wouldn't have had a chance to unholster his...
Off duty, as I recall.
Yes, he was. So what do you say about what Steve just said in terms of why aren't we publicizing these things to the heavens?
Well, this is a problem in general with conservative ideas, because when we get our way, so to speak, the results are unspectacular. So
true.
Airplane land safety. Yeah, 40,000 airplanes land safely today.
That's right. So when the Democrats get their way and have a completely defenseless mass of 2,000 or 3,000 students inside a building, you know, defended by one hapless sheriff's deputy, and they get the body count rings up into the double digits, then that is by its very nature a huge national story. Now, the reason why you don't see as much about an event like this is because there wasn't as much blood. You know, you got a couple of injured kids, you got a dead shooter, and right now, as we go to record this, we don't know exactly how all those injuries came to be. We know that at least one of the students was injured by the primary criminal shooter, and we know that the school resource officer engaged that shooter. We don't know whether the other injured student was injured in the crossfire or specifically by the criminal gunman, and we don't really know, at this point anyway, if it was the school resource officer who shot the gunman or the gunman shot himself. But nevertheless, that's not our point. Our point as conservatives is we want your life to be unspectacular in just such a way. We want it to be a deterrent to anybody who would bring a gun into an area where there are a lot of people. We want them to think that every other guy might have a concealed carry. We want them to think that it's possible that they're not going to get very far into their little slaughter fantasy before somebody guns them down or forces them to take their own life because they're met with force upon force. So, you know, the reason why you don't see as many stories about this kind of thing, and the media will make a big deal about this, you know, it very rarely happens that a gunman is shot by somebody with a concealed carry license. That's because in the places where there are a lot of people with concealed carry license, there aren't as many of these incidents. There are people do not wait, you know, it's the thief goes into the sheep pen and when the shepherd is asleep, you know, but when there are six shepherds on duty and each one of them has a big staff in his hand, the thief doesn't break into the fold.
My wife is from Russia, and one of the very first things that she commented on, in fact, the first thing she commented on when she first came to my apartment and certainly at the house we rent now, was just how puny the locks were on the door in Russia. Virtually every apartment in Russia has essentially steel doors with top, middle, and bottom big deadbolts. And just about a month ago, well, she's a crack shot now, by the way, my wife. She fires 600 rounds a week or something. But we were looking at the front door, and she's still, I don't understand, Billy. We've got this tiny little deadbolt, and then there's glass on both sides of the door. It'd be so easy for somebody to come in. And I said, honey, the deadbolt is not here to stop the burglars. The glass is not here to stop the burglars. The gun is here to stop the burglars. The glass is here to wake me up. That's the only reason the thing is there. And I was as serious as I could be, and she really did get it. That's really great. She's the reason our neighborhood is so safe is because it's pretty clear not only that people here are armed, but also that we're watching out for each other, that we know each other, that we care about each other. Look, that's a small and short-term solution to the problem. The long-term solution to this problem is going to have to involve a little bit of social engineering in the way that the problem itself was created by social engineering. The first of these shootings happened during the so-called assault weapons ban, when there were no AR-15s. It was virtually impossible to get a semi-automatic rifle. And the Columbine shooting took place amid that. And ever since then, we've had two things different. We've had an incredible rise of what I would call violence pornography in terms of things like The Matrix and video games and so on, which glorify violence and desensitize people to the act of these shootings and make it, as the cyber world and the real world converge, becomes less and less of a difference for people who are psychologically disturbed. But by far the biggest difference has been the idea that a loser who wants to commit suicide by cop will go from being a complete unknown to being the most famous person in the world for a day or two, and whose name and image will appear on every TV set and every computer screen on the planet, motivates people to do these things. It's crystal clear. Park Dietz is a forensic psychologist who studies this, and he says, if you want to stop it, stop giving their name, don't give their name, never show their face, do not do a body count, do not talk about how it compares to other shootings. He says it again and again and again, and we immediately do exactly the opposite. So when I say we need to re-engineer society, what we need to do is this. We need to take Park Dietz's advice. Never show the name or tell the name or show the face of the shooter. But for God's sake, when somebody like this man steps up and defends the lives of these students and shows that kind of personal courage, put his name and his face on every TV screen and computer screen around the world. And let people know that this is the hero, and that the person who attempted to get a little bit of fame and fortune is unknown, unnamed, gone. But the person who decided to save some lives is actually the person who's trumpeted around the world and whose name becomes a household word. You do this a few times, and people will begin to redo the sick and tragic calculations that they do in the modern world. I feel like committing suicide. I think I'll do it by cop. And if I'm going to do suicide by cop, why not finally make a little bit of a splash from a world that has ignored me and so on? A child can figure this out. Progressives can't figure it out, but the rest of us, it's actually pretty simple. In any event, this is a piece of evidence. It's another data point. And whoever this man is in his personal life, I am exceedingly grateful, just as a fellow American citizen, that he chose to put a badge on, because this is the kind of man that we need out there, and not the people that stand there around and listen for the sound of gunfire inside of schools to die off before they determine that it's safe to go inside. I'm Bill Whittle. This is Right Angle. Thanks very much for joining us. It's all made possible by the members at BillWhittle.com. And if you like the message, we'd love to have you be part of the team.